Hello and welcome to the Game Developer Podcast. I'm Danielle Riendo, the editor-in-chief here at Game Developer, and today we are joined by special guest Joel Couture, who is a featured contributor here at GameDeveloper.com. Joel writes interviews with indie developers for us every month, and during the lead-up to GDC, he writes our Road to IGF coverage, where he interviews nearly all of the developers nominated for an IGF award. That's really what we talk about today, quite a bit. The Road to IGF, the IGF nominees this year, and really sort of interview tips and tricks for developers if you're going to be doing an interview with the media. It's a really good chat. Hope you enjoy it. So without further ado, here's the episode. Joel, welcome to the show. Just welcome in general. It's the first time we've actually chatted in real life, so this is very exciting. Although I have been, you know, editing your work and working with you on this project and on, you know, other projects as well. So it's really cool to, you know, match a name to a voice.
So yeah, exactly. We're getting the audio portion. We'll sometime get the like the visual.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, as we chatted about in the intro, we are talking today about the Road to IGF coverage, which, of course, we are doing every year in sort of the lead up to GDC. And I kind of wanted to start off with, you know, just kind of noting this is definitely one of my favorite projects every year. You know, it's only my second year doing it, but still, it's still a favorite. It kind of quickly
became a favorite. That's two for two. I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. It's going well so far is what, you know, what we're saying. And it just gives me some hope and some inspiration in what is just a rotten time in our industry. And I know you enjoy it too. And I just kind of want to hear about your perspective on doing this project, on sort of what it's like for you, how you kind of prepare for it, just kind of how it comes together for you on your end.
I really look forward to this every single year. It's nice. It's probably the big highlight, even though it's a lot of work kind of all at once. So it's a highlight where the smoke is coming out of my ears for about a month. It really gives me a chance to like talk to developers and like bug them about like the nitty gritty details of how they come up with like a lot of their ideas and like design decisions. And just like the creativity that goes into so many of these titles and like the ways they surprise me, honestly.
Yeah.
I keep thinking like I've been around for, you know, a little bit over a decade now. I think nice. I know what's going to happen and I don't. I'm not even close. And I agree with you, especially like this past year, it just feels like unrelenting bad news. And it's like, it just feels like such a dark, like probably the darkest time in my career in games that I can remember. But like knowing the sheer creativity and passion that goes into so many titles that I hadn't heard of. And again, I always think I know everything that's going on in games, but I don't, I know we're in rough times, but it feels like we will make it. The creativity will, like, people will still keep making like incredible experiences, whatever happens to the industry after all this mess or whatever comes out the other side. Like there will be people always making like these incredible artistic experiences. So it's always going somewhere positive in the end, I guess. Anyway, I'm getting rambly now, but I really do look forward to this every year because it kind of like reinvigorates my hope.
Yes.
And what can be done in this industry and what people are doing.
Yeah. Not to do too much of a peek back kind of behind the curtain, but there was one day last week where we reported on something like 5 different layoff stories here at Game Developer. And the way I like got through the day was looking at another Road to IGF piece that you had sent in and being like, look, people are still making beautiful things, you know, as I'm like crying into my seltzer over here, like people are still making beautiful things, you know,
kind
of making that little bit of hope in what some creative folks are able to do kind of despite everything. Or, you know, some of the work certainly, that we look at in Road to IGF is not even necessarily commercial work. There are student projects. There are sometimes, I'm thinking, I guess, of a couple of projects from last year as well that were not really necessarily commercial products. You know, maybe Taylor McHugh's game, a couple of other things that are like, no, this is much more of a commentary or an expression than it is necessarily even a commercial product. So there's a little bit of both, obviously, in sort of what we look at Road to IGF, and quite a bit of scope. You know, there are games that are quite polished and, you know, look amazing. And then there are games that look, what, you know, a little bit more stereotypically indie, perhaps. And there's just a big wide range. And I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, were there any trends that you kind of saw this year in terms of, all right, there's always a wide swath of games, and I've only been looking at these for a couple of years now. So I wonder if you, in having done this for longer, know a little bit more about like, okay, there are a few more than usual of this type of game, or I saw a lot of this kind of theme.
Again, what every year this group of nominees surprises me. So sure. I always kind of think like maybe I kind of get the idea like there'll be certain this type of game, but like it's just I never know what to expect after like I think I've been doing this 7 years now.
Oh wow, nice.
and just it's constantly full of surprise. I mean, there's usually a couple like front runners that like do very well. I'm like, oh, that's a really neat idea. Yeah. Like stuff like Oberdin. Card game, scary, won every award. Why can't I remember your name right now?
Oh, Inscription.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh my God.
I was like, really, Joel? You just played it a little while ago. By the way, I'm always like all the way through. I'm like always behind the times. Oh, yeah, like there's same. Some stuff I'm like, yes, that's neat. That's doing something different. That'll be there. But there's always stuff that like completely takes me by surprise, and I find I can't like pinpoint what's going to show up. I think we always have like a really good gang of judges who pick out some really interesting projects. Like developers are really doing like really cool stuff. One that really jumps to mind right now is Kevin 1997 to 2077.
Yes.
I'm going to try to even like attempt to explain what it is, but it's like the developers kind of laid out like a personal life story, but in a language they've invented. And it's laid out in just this like super broad map that you like explore. And I was looking at it, I was like, okay, it's kind of like a puzzle game. I got to figure out what they're saying. I got to figure out what these words mean, but there's nothing to tell you what they mean. There's no like, hey, you figured out a couple of these words. Like say chances are, which is another language game that's up this year, which is more like, it'll tell you got it. One didn't. And I was kind of like confused, I guess, about why the developer would do that. So I spoke with him, and it turns out I was kind of on the wrong track of what I thought of the game would be about. I said it was more about just there's even with people we know very well, we only know what we think we know about them. Like we still interpreted their life and what they've told us in a way. So there's this like, there's never this full understanding of exactly what someone is saying or what their life means to them.
Yeah.
It's just kind of filtered through your lens. So you can ask a lot of questions, but you never get that correct answer. But you just try your best to understand someone. And that's kind of what this game was going for. That's why it doesn't tell you, you know, hey, you figured me out. This is what it means. It's like, you at most will know, you'll have what you think it means. And I thought that was like really interesting. And it came from his, the developer experience. What was Kevin Dew, moved to Scotland and didn't speak English.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I believe that was it. Yeah. Yeah. So quickly check here. You say didn't speak the language and was having to learn it with like heavy Scottish accents, just like immersing himself in like trying to figure out what people were saying without knowing kind of what they meant. So just a really interesting project and a really interesting look at humanity through, and I found out all this about by bugging him about like, how come you don't tell me when I'm right? It's like, cause it's not the point.
Right. That makes sense.
And that's kind of what I love. I didn't speak English. English was bad. So sorry, I always want to correct that.
Oh yeah, all good. Yeah.
So just like Joel's like quickly multitasking is like being wrong or misrepresenting. So, but yeah, just it's reached the point where I wasn't sure what I was talking about. This will happen a lot, and I apologize in advance.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's not like you just did 29 interviews in like a week, you know?
Yeah, okay, so. I'm trying. this stuff like this, like even when I think I know what's right in front of me, when I think I understand it, or I can predict things, I'm wrong. There's so much more thought out there, so many things that'll surprise me. So it's what I love about this industry, kind of like distilled in like a month of like madcap interviews. It's like this, there's so much creativity here and so much like interesting ideas and like takes on like art and like personal stories, like on top of like games that are just fun to play.
Yeah. That has seemed to me, if there's any trend, it's that a lot of the games fall into super ludic, like indie puzzle or strategy or, you know, some kind of like very, very, not necessarily retro, but something that you could kind of explain to a person in terms of very much like gameplay verbs. Like, yes, you are pushing the boxes. You are jumping on, you know, that kind of thing. Or a more personal story or a more, you know, sort of heavily narrative experience. And obviously some games kind of do a little bit of both. And those are pretty interesting too. And that's always like a difficult thread to kind of, needle to thread, thread to needle. I don't know which way it goes, but yeah.
Sewing is involved in some way. We know that much.
Exactly. Sewing these things together. And it's honestly, I've always been very impressed by how you're doing this massive volume of interviews. And yet you're always asking really good questions. I know if I had a project of this nature and this size, I might just be like, what'd you do there, buddy? You made a game? That's cool. Yeah, tell me about it. But you're always like, I want to ask a little bit about how you prep for these, because you always have really insightful questions. They're always really, really obviously very specific to the projects themselves. There are a couple of questions that, you know, are pretty universal, like what tools are you using, you know, things like that, because that's something that other devs can take a look at and be like, oh my God, they did that with just, you know, there's folks who are like, yeah, just Game Maker and their bad sprite editor, I think was the answer for somebody's question at one point, which is very funny to me. It was like, I love Game Maker. I just hope that they update the sprite editor at some point because it's real janky, but I'm just so used to using it. Like these are just, you know, the kinds of great answers you get with indie devs sometimes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to the point I'm actually trying to make here, and the question is, what kind of prep can you do? Because I know some of these come in hot. I know some of them are just like, oh my God, we only have a couple of weeks. We got to kind of get all these interviews done. So yeah, what kind of prep are you doing? Are you looking at trailers? Are you reading about the games? Are you just trying to like mainline some of these games as quickly as possible?
Yeah, it's silly, but I play very little just because they come in so hot.
Sure.
Thankfully, what I usually do is I'll start by looking at like store pages for it, just reading anything I can. If they got reviews because it's already out, I'll read just about anything I can get my hands on until I get the gist of like, I think I get the spirit of how like some of their mechanics work. Sure. If there's interviews on Game Developer, which is great, actually, that's a lie. Every time there's an interview on Game Developer, like, dang it, you took good questions. So those are actually really, really hard.
Yeah.
Like, there was like two different ones on the rec. I'm like, are you kidding me? So
yep, I was going to say, I think that might have been a good case of that. Exactly. Yeah.
So I was lying there. It's actually significantly harder when we do it or if other people do a lot of interviews with them. I do want to read those because I want to ask the same questions, or I'll piggyback on something they said because usually something starts to click around this point. Like I get a feel for like, okay, what's different about the game? That is something I feel like I'm getting good at my age. It's like,
gotcha.
Okay, what's unique about this that kind of like made it jive with the judges? What's the special thing I can kind of pry at?
Yeah.
And questions start rattling up from there. And I'll watch some like gameplay footage. If they got some of that available, I'll just kind of look at anything I can and just maybe play a little bit. But I find if I play it, I get kind of like too in the weeds for like a little part of the game, or I'd have to play too much to like get like any kind of decent question about it. So it's a lot of, and I mean, that's kind of true for like a lot of my interviews for the site, is that I just dig up whatever's I can find and read up on it. And if there's a lot of information that kind of like steers me in one direction, there's not so much, then Yeah. I also sometimes will do like two rounds of questions.
Sure.
As certain things will shake free that I won't expect on the first answer, like the Kevin 1997 to 2077. Yeah. It was going in a whole different direction than I was expecting. I was like, oh, okay, I got to readjust here. New things will come out. So I like that kind of like back and forth with the devs because there's always stuff I don't expect, or little fun surprises that I start to pry at then. So it's kind of like a living process for a little bit. Yeah. But largely it's a lot of me reading and watching trailers and like sitting there just like focused entirely on the game for like an hour or two and seeing what shakes free. And it's worked pretty well. Even though when I start, I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to ask. I'm a fraud. Sure. They're going to finally figure me out. But it always starts. The flow eventually like kicks in because there's always, they're all nominated for a very good reason. And I figure that reason out, stuff kind of starts to unravel. Tachia, I'm probably butchering her pronunciation, which takes place in New Caledonia. The devs really wanted to explore their homeland and kind of show it off and show their culture off. But they the lead devs were from there, but the rest of the team wasn't. So what was it like to show off your home? What was it also like to introduce a team to your home and like kind of get them to embrace that culture and work with that culture? Because it's one type of experience when you know it in your heart and you can like pour it out into that. It's another when you have to learn it and work within it. So I thought that would kind of give me some interesting answers about what they were doing. And also you can play a friggin' ukulele in that game, like legit. So how do you do that? Like, how do you make an instrument playable? Like I can't play anything besides the harmonica poorly. So like that doesn't count. Like just me sitting there blowing on it, like making my kids laugh. That's not playing an instrument. Why am I telling this story?
Oh, I love it. It's a good story. I mean, like that's such a perfect example though, right? Of making a mechanic that works for every human, no matter what their experience might be in the real world or with instruments or with anything else. It's just like anything else. Like, how do you teach somebody to push the right boulders? How do you teach somebody to, play notes on a guitar? How do you, or ukulele, excuse me, in this example, how do you teach somebody to go fishing? How do you teach all this stuff? I mean, it makes perfect sense that it's that's something you have to teach. And that's also something you have to get the vibe right for people who do know what it is or do have experience with that particular activity. So
Interesting how many different answers we get too. Like I do tend to ask the questions like, how did you teach X complex thing?
Yeah.
Because everybody's got their own different rule sets and some of it leaves me scratching my head, but they're very good at explaining it. So how did you do that? And there's always some kind of interesting different answer about how they approached it. Isle of Sea and Sky, teaching the player how to do a lot of the push games without speaking at all. Stuff in that article. They're talking how puzzle design work. Cause I have no aptitude for puzzle games. So how you create puzzles that make my brain not work out of a couple of boxes and some water. How'd you do that? Tell me. I just need to understand. And that's their explanation, that it doesn't because they always thought of a complex puzzle being, you have to do all these steps, and developer was not really. It's sometimes it's doing something with very simple steps. It's not a hard puzzle just because it takes a long time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just we're really thinking about those mechanics and how they interact and making the puzzle interesting instead of just hard, because hard doesn't mean it's good. So I thought I was asking one question, but it led to this whole neat discussion on how the dev looks at puzzle design. So I have a whole new appreciation for that game. Yeah. That came out of a question that I think I'm pretty good at this.
Yeah, of course.
But also the devs give really such amazing answers that surprise me so often that I feel I'm just really blessed to talk to all these really thoughtful, creative people. And they give such fantastic answers that it makes me look really good.
Yes. I mean, we love that. Yeah. Honestly, we love that. And it's always been a thing. I've been doing this since 2006, full time since 2013. And I've always had the feeling of, there's just a different level of access often with a smaller indie dev or a solo dev or someone like that who's really able
to speak a lot about their work versus sometimes not every team is like this. Not every AAA team is like this. Some have, you know, wonderful access for their devs, but some it's a little more guarded. You have to kind of go through several layers of, okay, but I really want to hear about, you know, the wildest thing that happened on this, or like, oh, was this like a weird accident? And you know, close to a release, you might not hear about weird accidents. You might hear about those later on down the line, but I want to hear about every weird accident and every bizarre way of leap of logic of how you got to something, how you figured something out. And that wasn't just like, yeah, we thought of this on day one and we did it. You know, the sort of mandated answer for something, right?
Yeah.
It's always been my experience anyway.
Yeah, so. And you're definitely right. Like, I appreciate the devs who are willing to be candid with us, because that's a tremendous honor for them to be willing to talk to us about that. Because I know for a lot of studios, it's not possible. And even just like, just put that kind of information out there on the internet, even some of it comes with risks, like Taylor's game from last year, you fucked the girl out of me. Like that's so much of you put out there that they were willing to share with us. So it's a lot to, I know it's a lot to ask sometimes. So I tremendously appreciate the honesty of all the developers who work with us.
Yeah. Especially like you're saying with Taylor's game, or like any of the sort of really personal work that gets out there and that folks are, you know, like, oh yeah, this is amazing. You really told a story that is not easy. and I remember that being like a whole thing. Like just reading about that, reading the interview, wanting to make sure we're just doing right by everything. It's just very, I have to say, I share in your honor. You deserve the lion's share of the honor. You're doing most of the work. I just look at it when it's basically done and I'm like, oh, that was great. So, you know, I'm taking the 2% of the honor over here, shining it over here, basically. Yeah. And I wanted to chat a little bit more about, actually, just like if you had any favorites, you know, not like I'm saying, oh, you know, somebody wasn't your favorite, but like if you had just a couple of favorite interviews or a couple of favorite projects that you looked at in the course of the project this year, because I know I have a couple. One of mine actually is Isles of Sea and Sky. I was so inspired by your interview, by reading the answers, by checking this game out, that I actually like, I just like put on a long play of the game. I will play it at some point. I have this, you know, ridiculous game journalist problem of not playing new games almost ever. but just watched like a full let's play of it. And I was like, oh my God, this puzzle design, it's so brilliant. And especially the fact that like the game is really super accessible. We don't always think of these super thinky puzzle games as being very accessible, but it's like you can play this game with one hand. The controls are so simple. You're only ever pushing in a direction. Yes, there's like menu prompts and there's that, but like otherwise, it's all meant to be right there in the visuals. Again, there's no text. There's no like really talking. It's all about, oh, how do we convey these mechanics? I also am just such a sucker for good pixel art. I'm a sort of beginning pixel artist myself, and that sort of Game Boy Color look and feel to it, it just was like, I was so wildly inspired. I just was like, oh my God. I took down a bunch of screenshots, was taking a look at it. I was like studying this, like it was a text kind of thing. So I just have to share that I appreciated that so much, just in terms of this project and being introduced to a game that's really interesting to me and loved the answers the dev gave about designing it.
Yeah, that was a really, again, like, because I really liked hearing about like how the puzzles came together, and like it was just really inspiring. And you hit a lot of the same points that being able to explain kind of like your puzzle design without a word and making it accessible in that way, or just like the inspiration from like Earthbound to play it one-handed, just like really neat things that would normally kind of like just I might not notice or would sail past me. Over the years, Taylor's interview was like, I don't know if favorite's the right word, but it was like one of the most hard hitting ones. So it always kind of stands out in my mind. Yeah. Just like, cause I always wonder about like the games where like the subject matter is very personal and very difficult. What it's like to kind of like re-experience that very slowly, like steamroller slowly running you over style.
Yep.
And like what kind of like strength or determination or like feeling that kind of goes into like keeping you going when you're like experiencing your trauma in like slow motion for like a year and some.
Yeah. Oh my God.
What drives you to do that? And like often it's like the desire to like help other people not feel as alone with it. So just like surviving kind of this your work at times, or how the work can like pull you through some of these darker times.
Yeah.
This year, I really like talking to, is it the Catamites? Anthology of the Killer. Yep. Just like soap operas and Junji Ito came to be like that game. I was like the headlines write themselves sometimes when I let people talk, like what, yeah. How? Okay. I love the Catamites work. I've loved it before I started working in like game journalism, because just like I just don't know what to expect from it. It's always ridiculous and hilarious. It's my sense of humor perfectly. So hearing kind of like the process of creating those jokes, or how seamlessly like they'll weave nonsense, or like stuff will just happen and it makes perfect sense even though it makes no sense. Yeah. And like the process is like, how do you do that? Like accept everything that's happening here, but like, and so it's just like this interweaving like humor, and like how like they work to surprise themselves with their work, and like, you know, like if things work for them, like it's just like it was just really interesting to hear, like, because humor is not easy. So them, and I think Once Upon a Jester, hearing how they worked humor, like the Once Upon a Jester gang was like their best buddies forever, and they just try to make each other laugh. Like with music and like story ideas, and that's their game development process, is like just trying to crack each other up on like one, like an entire scene came of just like a car ride, because they were just like doing this to each other, and I love that. It's just like like let's gamify like the goofs with your buddies, except they're funny to other people and not just the weirdos in your car.
Yep.
So hearing like those processes with those two interviews, what was the other one? Try Again, the student project, where they were there's a game working towards, it was a game about a game developer who's working under crunch and trying to like keeps changing the details of the game that they're making. So like you're playing through this platformer, but it keeps changing. So it's kind of like Stanley Parable kind of feeling, like meta commentary, but just like, and but they were kind of suffering from the effects of crunch with making it. So like, how is this like
it was like a mirror to a mirror to a mirror.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how did we get here? And like, how does that feel? And like, how does it feel to get out of that period?
Yeah.
So that one was super interesting. Planetica, the one about the planet core, like it's, you're trying to like build out like your like natural life on a planet before human colonizers come in and kind of strip mine you dry.
Yeah.
Kind of like turning the whole genre on its head. So like being like, you know, you're colonizing a planet, you're like stripping it of resources so you build machines to do, I don't know, shoot aliens or something, because reasons.
No, those usual ones. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just to turn all that on its head. And with a really straightforward like interface, and like just like very simple, but like very thoughtful. I just thought that was such a really cool idea. So like sometimes it's like hearing about like how this stuff comes together, and the Goodbye Monster. So once I start talking about these, like it feels like the IGF people are my children. Like I like pick a favorite. It's like I love them all for like different things. But Goodbye Monster is like the text-based game about like taking on like a digital life, but just like they wanted to, this was another one I kind of was taking the questions in like a weird direction I thought the game was going in, but I was completely wrong. Because it's less about like teaching people to care about a digital organism and teaching people to not treat digital beings as like something you own or is cute in that you like your connection to it. You don't actually care about the thing itself. So it was just a really neat talk about kind of like how we interact with digital characters and treat them, and it's all done through text but with like limited visuals, so it's just enough to get you like this really cool old like, I don't know, BBS vibe, I guess.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what I'm going for here, but just like they used kind of like movement on the screen and like this little floating critter that you really can't control to like give you that sense of like connected but not,
yeah,
to like think about this kind of like stuff. I find like talking to the devs gives me a new appreciation for the game. I kind of look at it and like think about it in a different way. So like I said, I thought it was just like, I like this little critter because I, you know, I've got it hanging out with me. But it's actually deeper than that. And I never really considered that when I was, you know, not feeding my, you know, pocket puppy, whatever toy.
Of course. Like,
oh, you pooed on the floor again because I was not paying attention to you. I'm sorry. At least you're not dead. I was not good. I was not good with the digital creatures.
Yeah.
I don't want to know how the Nintendogs are doing.
Oh God, I think about them every day. Every day. I'm like, I haven't touched that since 2005.
No, the guilt.
Oh no.
Guilt. I can't even look at it. Like, it's just got to keep in like a box somewhere. It's like,
It just like to think that Tiny is living his best life. That's all. Tiny is out there living his best life. Tiny's a Chihuahua. Mm-hmm. He's living his best life. It's great. Yeah. And he's, you know, he's 30 years old now and it's fine and he's doing great and we're all fine here.
He's fine. He's got a family. He's got a, you know, a job somewhere, a tech startup.
Exactly. He wears a tie every day.
Yeah. He thinks about you often. He keeps a picture of you on his desk. Yeah,
exactly.
That's he's still close in his heart.
Oh, bless his tiny heart. Tiny. Yeah. My Nintendog's Chihuahua. Well, on that note, we're going to take a very quick break. I hope Nintendogs isn't like trying to sell a new Nintendog on our space here. I don't think they are, but if they are,
we're still thinking them after like 15 years. So I mean, if they are, they can't get that mad at us.
They can't get too mad because Tiny is, you know, wherever he is. But we will be right back after a brief respite.
We aim to make GameDeveloper.com the one-stop shop for game industry professionals to learn the news of the day, read in-depth features with developers, and share knowledge through our blog section. A few recent stories you may be interested in include an in-depth feature on the current state of unionization in the game industry, particularly through this brutal layoff wave, a piece on the design pillars devs need to know if they want to pitch a Dungeons & Dragons game, and a feature blog on innovative boons and banes approach to dice rolls in the game Project Orcs. You can read all of this and much, much more at GameDeveloper.com.
I don't know why it was a respite, but it was.
And we really wanted it to be.
Yeah,
I'm much more rested. Respited. I shouldn't have stopped talking. This is my type.
No, we're all respited. I like that we've been respited and ourselves refreshed after a brief ad break. That was not an ad respite. It was an ad break. It was kind of one of those.
Ours are really fancier.
What's that? Sorry.
Ours are fancier.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very fancy. I want to dig into our respites here about basically how devs can learn from this, how devs can actually like take a look at these interviews, both from, you know, the sort of perspective of, oh, that's so interesting how they did this thing, you know, the sort of advice, the content, and also, you know, hey, what if they want to be on the road to IGF one day? What if they have an IGF nominated game and they're actually like, oh, I'm going to go talk to Joel today. I'm going to, you know, what should I keep in mind? What should I think about in terms of how do I present my game? How do I talk to a journalist? How do I kind of get it out there? So this is the Devs Corner, since this is, of course, a devs oriented podcast. So, yeah.
I try stressing kind of when I go into it that you're talking, this article's for your peers. Like I know a lot of other game sites will do interviews and like they're all great, but ours are, I feel special in that we're really into the craft of making games, which is works for me because that's what I'm really interested in, is like, how did you make the thing? Yeah. So I try to stress like, you know, take as much space as you want, talk as much as you want, type as much as you want, because this is your peers you're talking to. This is people who might be thinking of making a game. This might be other professionals who have made games who might not have thought about it the same way you did. So your ideas are all very valid and interesting. And I really just try to stress to the developers, like, please just come in willing to just really talk about like your thoughts behind everything. Just try to be open to like, because again, like it's kind of like it's your turn to show off. Like you've been nominated for like a prestigious award. Like you clearly designed something very cool, and like people want to know how you did it. And again, like with like the Isles of Sea and Sky, like really cool ideas that went into the design there. Darkest Dungeon 2, like talking about like taking their 2D assets and suddenly working with 3D now, like that seems like something to be like, it's a very particular switch.
Yes. But
like if something, that's something you might be thinking of like down the road, or something you run into is like, okay, how'd they do it? You can get a little bit of a picture of like what went on there. So I just ask devs to be as candid as they're willing to be. It's like, I know you don't want to give away like all the secrets. Like I've had developers to be like, I straight up can't tell you that. And like, and that's fine. Cause like sometimes like the secret is part of it. Like I have some very, very brief interviews with Toby Fox. A sentence or a word answer. Sometimes the secret is part of it. Like, cause that's also equally valid that no, I don't want to talk about that. It's like, and that's fine. Sometimes that is enough of an answer to really spark your interest. Cause like, that's more of a push to like, hey, what are you taking away from this game? Cause like, I tend to I might over ask certain questions or be asking a bit much that you don't necessarily want to say. That's also perfectly valid to just tell me to buzz off or just like give me one sentence answers. We've run them. Cause it's absolutely an answer.
It's an answer.
And it can be just as interesting. Like you don't have to talk a whole lot to like get your point across too. Like I want you to have the room to say what you need to say.
Yes.
Whatever you feel that happens to be. So largely preparing for IDF questions. Like if you have design stuff, like I want to hug you because that stuff's amazing. Like that's what I love to see is like those design docs. Like the I think one of the devs like put a like a picture of the spreadsheet to kind of show the logic behind how they're like
the deconstruct team piece. I think yes.
Yeah. So like stuff like that.
Spreadsheet. I think I looked at that one very recently. So that was awesome to see.
So just like seeing the process, like it's like just whatever you're willing to let us in on and see, because like again, it's just all to help peers. Or to show kind of your process, because it's all going towards like, I think that's what I really like about working with this site is that we share so much knowledge with other devs to just like just have access to, not to toot our own horn, but this is why I love where I work. So
yeah, 100%. Same. I get very excited.
Yeah. So really, this is like if you got stuff lying around, you're like, I wish I could show someone this because it's all art, like it's all craft, all everything's designed with purpose in games. Like I used to kind of be like, why this thing is silly? Like I don't agree with it. Like thinking like it was done by accident. Nothing is done by accident in games. Yeah. Like it's because it takes time to do it. So it can't be done by accident. There's usually a reason, and maybe if I didn't like it. Maybe it's budget. Maybe it's a purposeful decision that makes something really interesting, like space organ. Simulator.
Simulator.
Yes. Some of the elements of its design are meant to create friction. Like, and I might not like, I don't like this. Why'd you do it this way? It's like, it was done with purpose. Everything is done with purpose. It just might be why it was done with purpose. And like hearing about that. So finding that like, hey, we ran into this trouble, but this is how we worked around it. It's also extremely valuable. So just like, I just want to kind of give them a platform to like, talk about like their decision-making processes and like, you know, maybe this went bad, but how'd you salvage it at that point? Or we had these ideas, but like they weren't practical because you might come in with too much you're trying to do. So I just feel like if you just come in kind of willing to share your story as best you can, there's not much you can really do to prepare. Just like, be willing to tell me no, buzz off. If you don't like a question, or even if you have something you're thinking of that I didn't ask, you're like, hey, I had this thing that I think was really cool. So I'll sometimes pipe in with that is like, is there anything I didn't ask you about that you think is really cool? And some like neat ideas that come out of that. I didn't have too many this year. I had a couple over the last couple of years. They're not jumping to mind, but like, some really cool stuff has come out of that. Cause like, I'm not a game developer outside of like maybe three screens in like RPG Maker. And they didn't work.
That's still something.
It didn't work. That's still something. It was like all the characters did instant death attacks. And I'm like, wait, I don't understand this. What am I doing here? Yeah. That was less purpose. That was learning. But anyway, because I am not a developer, there are things I will not think to ask. I'm trying after all these years. So just like just if you got cool stories, like we just want to hear them and share them with people. And likewise, if there's stuff you're not entirely comfortable with, then that's fine. Because like there are things you may not want out there. You may not want to talk about failures and like things like that. Not everyone's going to be comfortable, like, you know, airing, like doing a postmortem of like why their project isn't doing well. And that's perfectly valid. Like maybe it's painful. Maybe you just, maybe like for like some of those painful games that I want to ask you, like what the experience was like, you're like, I just don't want to talk about that anymore. Let's just talk about the work.
Yep.
It's fine. So that's the extremely long answer to don't prepare at all. You'll be fine.
But I mean, it's the opposite of, oh, I was hyper media trained to only say three talking points about X, Y, or Z, you know, and it's, I like that honesty. I like that ability to kind of go in and be like, honestly, be a, you know, be a nerd about it, you know, like be a nerd about your game. We're nerds about your game. Go ahead. Like, I want to hear about these mechanics. I want to hear about your shaders that you wrote or whatever it is, you know, obviously pertaining to whatever the project is. Right. But
yeah,
it's like, go ahead. This is for your peers, like you said at the beginning.
Yeah, just cut loose. Because I exactly like you said, a lot of companies, like, they can't. Or once you're owned by a publisher, you're not allowed to talk about it. Or everything's hunky-dory. How'd you design that? We did it like this. Is that the end of the story? Yep. Then I have to ask the same question in different ways three or four times to try and get an answer. And please don't do that to me. It's very hard for me to do live. Because now I'm concentrating on what you're saying, my next question, and this rewrite I'm doing in my head. And I'm not good at it. Please don't make me do it.
So I mean, those are the hardest interviews in the world, right? So yeah.
Exactly. So it's really nice to like get a lot of like honest answers from developers, however extensive or limited they have to be. So, and if it's something to like think about when you're going to be talking to journalists, is like, how comfortable you are with some of this information being out there. Because I mean, some like again, if I could be talking about your pain, maybe that's very private stuff. But we take very seriously on the site, and that's another reason why I keep tooting Game Builder Site's horn. But like, I really appreciate that our tenets is do no harm. That's extremely important to me as a writer, because we can do a lot of damage to a life with some of the stuff we put out there. So we take a lot of precautions with your story, and we'll check multiple times to make sure, are you sure you want this out there? Like I've pulled things just before they were about to run for that reason. Are you comfortable with it being in the wide world of internets?
Yep. And exactly.
All the fun that is out there at these times. We have such a fun conversation that I brought it all down. But it's real. It's the big consideration I would put out there. We're talking to journalists, like not everybody's concerned about do no harm, and not everybody does harm on purpose. So things happen. So just take care with your story. And if you want it out there, as best you can, because you're the also the best person to protect it.
Of course. Yeah. And like, then that obviously, you know, goes, I think we take special care with the types of stories that are more personal, that might be about personal pain, that might be about a person's abuse or a person, you know, a death in the family or anything that's very, very difficult that folks might want to make games about. They might want to make a very deep and, you know, heartfelt expression about something like that. So it's like, let's make sure everybody feels okay about this. This is good. We're doing our due diligence here, and it's important. And I really do feel like there is an interesting angle here as well of like, okay, so devs of every size, you know, every type of developer wants, you know, probably wants their game to do well. It's their project, it's their baby. But an indie dev might have access to certain things like, okay, I can be on TikTok. I can say things about my game. I can, you know, really put my face on something or really kind of, you know, go all out with certain things or certain aspects of my personality. Or they might have a little more freedom to hide in the same way that they might not have to be a spokesperson, in the same way that somebody at like a big team, it's like, no, you're the one who talks about this. You know, we've decided to media train you. You're going to kind of do this. So there does seem to be a little bit more freedom there. In terms of like, okay, how do you want to tell your story? If you are, you know, if you have a little bit more control over the project itself necessarily. So something to note probably for devs to understand that, of course. And You never want to be in a situation where like somebody's so excited to talk to you and tell you things that they say something that they're embarrassed about or that they, you know, that they want to take back or something. So it's always like, it's okay. You know, you're doing great. You know, do you ever, I guess the question here is if you ever have that experience, perhaps maybe with some of the student games or something where like somebody's been a little like, oh, are you sure you want to tell me that? Like, I fully have no idea if this is a thing. So I guess I'm just asking you a question now in our interview, basically.
It does. It comes up rarely. But every couple of years I read something that just, it sets off a kind of like a warning alarm in my head. Like if this was out, cause this is something I kind of try to take care of in my interviews. It's like,
sure.
There's been some interviews I've had with devs that I've asked them as like, do you want me to put this out there?
Sure. Yeah.
There's been one or two times, probably a couple more, where just something seems it might be too personal, what they're putting out there, or it's like, it's really kind of vivid. It might be like triggering even yourself to read again or for other people.
Sure. Yeah.
Or just maybe something I'm like, I just get a weird, not weird, but like, it feels like it honestly just does feel like an alarm goes off in my head. Like, should we run that? And I'll usually just stop and talk about that for a couple minutes. Like, are you comfortable with that going online? Cause like, I made my own mistakes and said things, and I've had to retract articles I put out because I misinterpreted or phrased something wrong. And kind of like that shaping can like bring someone a lot of trouble. Funny story, I actually get along quite well with the dev I did this to because I took care of it. So
oh, totally.
We get along well now.
It's just
really a vibe I get right now. It's like at this point I wish I could say something more constructive than that. But just I guess I worry about our interview subjects. Again, like they're my children in that I love the work they put out there, but they also seem to be my children in that I worry about them being hurt. So if there's something I want them to be able to tell their story as they tell it, and like I will let them do so. But if there's a point where I'm like, hey, this might hurt you in some way, are you sure you want this out there? Like, I will back you if this is what you want to put it out there. You may want to think about it. So I'll just kind of like put it back to them, because again, I feel it's their decision what goes out, and it should stay that decision if we you know, need to take something down later. But yeah, it's just a vibe I get sometimes, and I wish I could pinpoint what it is, but just like, there's nasty people online who might use something against you. So I worry a lot about like, maybe this makes it a little too clear where you live or something like that. That's not a right example, but that's something I'm thinking of. Like sometimes when you're in like, you're having a good conversation, you feel comfortable, you're talking to people and stuff comes out and you're like, oh, do you want me to actually run that? And some stuff it's just something to kind of keep in mind. And like, I take very, very seriously.
Absolutely.
Again, the do no harm thing, like it really sits with me. I think it's probably our biggest job in this out of anything, is to like minimize harm to the people we're trying to like put up and like let talk about their work.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's honestly, to me, it's just the human element of be a good person, communicate with people clearly, and, you know, kind of know what you're doing and know where your heart lies in terms of, all right, how do I do right by folks? You know, how do I do right by my job and do right by folks? So fully appreciate also that your sensitivity around these things, which has come up before, like, you know, just being extra sensitive, especially around a super difficult subject or about content warnings or about something that might be like, you know, super painful to someone. You just do your due diligence, just pay a little more attention to that. I like that approach. co-signing.
Yeah. Exactly. And sometimes it's as simple as me writing, you don't have to answer this if I'm sending an answer, like an interview question, like in advance, or like, I'll put like a space and like, I have put trigger warnings in like email interviews I've sent out. It was like, okay, I like trigger warning this. And like for these next questions to allow the person, just like, I just don't want to deal with that. So just like, just don't. There may be, maybe I should send them as a separate email, but like, I don't want that popping open and having it be right there. So to me, it makes sense to like put like a trigger warning and put just like a ton of space and then the question. So like, you have the choice to stop here. It doesn't just pop into your face. So
absolutely.
It's something I think about a lot.
Yeah. And I think that's fantastic. It's just being thoughtful, just, you know, trying to be thoughtful to your fellow humans who live on this planet with us, you know? Yeah,
exactly. If you're trusting me to talk to me about like your private details about like your arts, then I should like at least try my best to take care of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I had one last sort of, I guess, a very chill question. I know we've been on like a relatively serious path here, which I think is good. I think it's proper. I think it's right. But I want to know, do you treat the IGF, like, are you watching it on stream? Do you have like a bucket of popcorn? Do you dress up? Do you have like an Oscar watch party? Yeah, it's a very silly question, but it just like kind of came to mind of like, you must be very invested in this. Of course, you're saying you feel very invested in, obviously. I'm not saying, oh, if somebody's a winner, somebody's a loser, just in terms of, you know, these games, you've looked at them, you've talked to these creators. Do you like get really excited about watching the IGF?
I do. And again, I said they're my children. I'm the one in the chats running the banhammer every year, or at least the last couple of years. So if you're to sass my kids, you are gone. Gone. I do not screw around in there. So if you want to know who the mod is, it's me.
Nice.
So if you think you're coming after my little baby developers, you are mistaken. And you best believe that since I've been around, that chat has gone real well behaved. Nice. Somebody's going to take this as an invitation to try to agitate me. He's like, I do not care. I will ban you instantly if you're running your mouth. So there's no food. I'm hovering over the mouse, ready to just like clobber people. So which makes it so I have to tweet everybody afterwards. My congratulations. Of course. Well, not tweet anymore. I have to blue sky them. I used to do it. I'll have to email them now. Skeet, Scoop, Scooby Doo.
Whatever it's called.
Skibbity Bop Bop. Dibbity Doo. Now we're scatting now. What are we doing?
I know, right?
I have to carrier pigeon.
Exactly. Send them a note.
Yeah. Yep. Send you a letter. But yeah, I do enjoy the show, especially because like honestly we have a terrific audience. I usually don't have to kick too many people out or silence too many people, but we've managed to, I think, curate some really good people in there. So like it's that job has gotten very chill. Again, I don't want to eat my words, but go ahead, try me. So I do get to kind of just kick back and relax for a lot of it. And it's just very enjoyable to watch the moment. I wish they all could. I mean, you're all winners in my heart. And like most of the people who like applied to, like, I love so many games that didn't make the nominees. There's just so much incredible work out there that it's hard to touch on it at all. But what about you? What do you do?
Are
you allowed popcorn in the audience?
I was there physically last year, and I got to be at like one of the closer tables. So I was sitting there being a big nerd, like getting excited about like, oh, look who's walking up. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, it was me basically, you know, New England mom getting very excited, you know, getting teary eyed a little bit when, you know, if somebody that I had, you know, seen them perhaps go through a part of their career or, you know, knew them from before or knew kind of what was going on, that type of thing. I won't name any names, but I did kind of tear up at one point last year. I'll just say it. This was for the whole IGF and GDCA, like the whole stack of awards, basically the awards night. But yeah, I got very, very excited and always kind of do. And it feels so good to see people have a win. And especially for something it's so well-deserved. It's work that's really interesting, often pushing boundaries, often whether in, again, like a very playful and kind of ludic way or in a very sort of boundary-pushing, difficult, you know, heart-wrenching work kind of way, either or both. All of them are incredibly useful and valid and something we frankly need in the world. We need we need interesting games. We need cool games. We need games that are expressive and that are playful and that are, you know, all kinds of things. So yeah, it gives me that little bit of life and it feels great to watch it in the moment and see that energy. And did you see somebody be very happy? You know what I mean? Like that they won something and it meant a lot to them. And it's really quite incredible. So
yeah, it's definitely an extremely positive experience just watching this celebration of like these people are always like asking, what can games be? And yes. they don't have to be what we thought they were right now. Yes. Last time I was there was 2018, I think. I ended up.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I was sitting with the developer of McPixel, Sauce Sasowski.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. I love that series. Yes, yes, yeah. yes.
Yeah. So, like, picking his brain about it, like, not letting him watch the show. Because I was like, I was geeked about the people on the stage, but, like, I'm sitting beside the funniest guy.
I gotta know what he thinks. Yeah.
Yeah. He gave me a bunch of stickers. I treasure them. They're in a drawer literally beside me right now.
That's fantastic.
But just, yeah, it is such a nice thing to watch, just, like, the positivity and like creativity be celebrated. And then there's like so many games that don't get celebrated as much as like the big kids do.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term. So it's just nice. It's just wonderful to see.
A balm on my soul. That's what I'll call it. Here we go.
Good Lord, we need you right now.
We sure do. Yeah. You ain't wrong. Well,
no.
Joel, thank you so much. I want to give you space to shout out anything that you'd like to, you know, any places people can follow you on social if you want them to. You don't have to. This is the part where I'm saying you don't have to if you don't want to, you know, the sentence there. But if you want to shout things out, this is a prime time for it.
Okay. So you can find me on Game Developer, clearly.
Yeah.
They keep letting me back in. I do a little bit of work for Dread Central periodically. So if you want to read about my thoughts on spooky games, I'm usually there. I run Indie Games Plus, which is kind of like a longish standing indie site, kind of like the child of indiegames.com, but it's on hiatus right now because I'm overworked on something that's NDA, so I can't talk about it.
Totally fair.
But someday, I've got a couple of books on itch.io on the design of Undertale, PT, Friday the 13th for the NES, because I know I'm not the only person who loved this game, because like a whole bunch of people came out of the woodwork when I talked about it, but I love unashamedly love Friday the 13th, and I wrote a whole book about it. And Kirby. I also do work for Silicon Era, writing about fighting games, because I'm learning about those the last couple of years. So if you want a relatively newish person to fighting games opinion who has some success beating up his friends online, I can cover you there. And you can find me on Blue Sky, but I usually don't talk much. I just usually say silly things or read Scooby-Doo articles. But I am there. And like, I promise I'll start using it, but just like, I'm social media burnt out after terrible social media things over the last couple of years. I kind of watch what you all are doing. Just keep an eye out. Like, while I look at Danielle's like pixel art.
Well, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that.
You're doing great. My wife does pixel art, and she kind of started in the same avenue you did, just like doing pixel art online. So now she does it professionally. So it's very cool to see someone else doing that arc.
Oh, that's really cool. Good for her. That's super fun. Yeah, I'm learning it for my own like tiny little games and stuff. So I'm having fun. But thank you for the vote of confidence there. Much appreciated. Yeah. And thank you so much for on not just your time tonight, obviously on the show, but your time writing these incredible interviews, bringing the quality with everyone, and just being awesome. Thank you for being awesome. That's what I'm going to say.
Thanks for being awesome editors so that I don't sound like a total goofball.
Oh, thank you. You wouldn't, but it would just be a comma would be in the wrong place once, you know, or something. It's the copy comes in so clean. I keep telling everybody on the site, I'm like, oh my God, this project is amazing. Not only are these interviews great, it's also really easy for me. So, hey, thank you.
Got to work on my M dashes, hateful things.
Yeah, no, they can be an acquired taste. I understand. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Joel. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And for all your game developer needs, hey, why not go to gamedeveloper.com?
It's in the name.
It's on the tin.